Welcome to today's webinar, Creating an Extraordinary Spiritual Life, with your host, Dr. Alberto Vialdo.
So welcome to Creating an Extraordinary Spiritual Life. How do we do that? How do we go about doing that? And the the topic of our program is not only how do you create a spiritual life, but how do you embody an ancient discipline that that I have been training in for many, many years, which are the shamanic traditions. Now, the shamans were the wisdom keepers. They were the sages of the Americas. They were the prophets. They were the visionaries. They were the men and women who had defied death, who had journeyed beyond death. And they were the men and women that made spirituality practical. So what I did was to gather a group of friends that are all beloved by you, including Carolyn Mays and Greg Braden and Robert Thurman and fantastic people that are really the wisdom keepers of today. We would call them the modern shamans because they know how to make things practical. They not only talk about it, but they live it. And I've invited them to join me for the next 13 moons to share with us how they embody spirituality. How do you live a spiritual life? Not just read a spiritual book. I remember having dinner with Carolyn Mays one time, and she was saying how she realized one day that she had a spiritual library, but she wasn't living a spiritual life. And wow, what a surprise. And so many of us, of course, have read all the right books and even written all the right books, but how do we embody it? How do we embody it? And these are the shamanic traditions because they are the traditions of the feminine. They're not about information, they're about relationship. They're about relationship to nature, relationship to our destiny, relationship to our ancestors. And each one of the guests that I have for each one of the 13 moons actually is taking us through their personal spiritual practices. So these are people that I know. I lecture with them. I write books with them. I've been on the road with them. So we're not just doing an interview. I've invited them to go deep, to take us into their inner sanctum, to work with us at their altar. What happens when you're afraid? Mark Hyman, New York Times bestseller, good friend. What happens, Mark, when you cannot find the solution for health in medicine or in diet? How do you reach to the invisible world? And he shares that with us. So for the shaman, and many of us have no idea what a shaman is. And as the resident shaman at Hay House, I want to tell you a little bit about who the men and women are that mediate between the visible and the invisible world. They're able to see the invisible nature of things, the energetic realm. They're able to interact directly with spirit. And they're able to bring that wisdom from spirit and infuse it into the world. I remember being in the Andes Mountains, and I trained initially as a medical anthropologist, and then worked in a laboratory, in a brain research laboratory at San Francisco State University. And one day I traded in my lab coat and microscope for a pair of hiking boots. And I went into the high Andes and the Amazon to work with men and women who did not have technology, who did not have MRIs, who had to rely on the power of the mind and on the power of the brain and of spirit to heal and to co-create with spirit. And I was surprised that I had a brand new PhD at that time, and I was telling this old medicine man about quantum physics and particularly about chaos theory, about how you can, which is the butterfly effect, how the butterfly that flapped his wings in Beijing can cause a tropical storm in the Caribbean. And the old man looks at me and he says, "Interesting, show me." And I said to him, "What do you mean, show you? This is quantum physics." He says, "No, come on, show me." And I had a brand new PhD. And he said, "Come on, flap your little doctor wings and heal somebody in India. And I said, I can't do that. He said, I can. So for these ancient wizards, these men and women of knowledge, they differentiate between information and wisdom. Information is knowing that water is H2O. Wisdom is being able to make it rain. Information is knowing that about a diagnosis. Wisdom is being able to heal and transform it. And today we're living in a time of informational overload with very, very little wisdom, which is why I created this program, A Year of Living in the Sacred, on the full moon, on or around the full moon. Because when the moon is full, it's life is at its fullest. The moon is feminine. The feminine part of ourselves is brimming over. It's full of life. When the moon is dark, we go within. When the moon is full, we want to marshal those energies and use them to create our dreams, to give form to our dreams. And men, the masculine traditions, of course, have been terrified of this for a very long time. That's why they even have words like lunacy or lunatic. Luna is moon. So we want to work with the energy of the full moon. So I asked Megan Watterson, who's a meditation teacher who really works with the divine feminine, to lead us into a practice. I asked Bob Thurman, a Buddhist scholar, extraordinary scholar, one of the first Western Buddhist monks ordained directly by the Dalai Lama, author of fantastic books. You know, how do you work with this feminine energy in this masculine world that we're living in? Show us how to do it. Lead us. Let's make it practical. Let's not only talk about the quantum physics, let's make it rain. Let's create, let's welcome back and heal that inner feminine that we have neglected so much over the years. So this is in the time of the full moon. And in olden days, the women would get to be with each other during the time of the full moon when their cycle arrived. And today, we have to bring our inner feminine, men and women, with each other during these times to incubate, to give birth, and to deliver a new form of life and of beauty and of wisdom in a world that is so dominated by the masculine wisdom. Marcela Lobo is one of my guests, a medicine woman that I'm also happen to be married to, who's work with the southernmost shamans in the world at the very tip of Tierra del Fuego in Patagonia, where the medicine women, they're all the shamans are women. They say that the men misbehaved. So the women are the carriers of the wisdom. And I've been with them in ceremonies, and you have the 70-year-old women that are drummers that are extraordinary. And Marcela says that we need to recover the womb, that the womb has become for women a place for suffering, and that the womb is not a place for suffering. The womb is a place of wisdom and of beauty and of joy and to create. So I asked Marcela, well, lead us through a ceremony, lead us through an ancient shamanic ceremony that the women and the men can take part in. And during her program, she leads us through the rite of the womb, recovering the womb to make it a place of joy and a place of wisdom. So I asked these 13 leaders in their field, people that I've known personally, some of them for many, many years. I asked Greg Braden. Greg and I have lectured together for many years, and you know and love Greg's work. He recently wrote Human by Design. I said, Greg, I know that you work with the science, but you make the science practical. You've been to the Himalayas. We've been to Peru together. And I said, bring us that. You said that there's a quantum leap that happened 180,000 years ago, that it's not explainable by science, that made us human in some way. How do we activate those genetics to become the greatest possible human? Can we do it now? So I know these people well enough to bring them to task, to the moment. So my vision was to create a practice, a year-long practice, 13 moons, because we have 12 suns, 12 months of the year, but we have 13 moons in the year. And to give us an inner calendar, to reset our inner calendar, which we have to do today. You know, the ancients would reset their calendars to the seasons, to the changing seasons, and they would reset their diet to the season. They would eat fresh, they would eat local. But we have no way to reset ourselves these days. We have our inner calendar, our inner timekeeper is running at computer speed and not at nature speed. So within this year period, the intention is to reset our rhythm, reset our time. And in resetting our time to nature and not to the hectic pace of the unsacred world, the profane world, if you would, of the world of where we give importance to the things that fill up our day so that we don't have time to do yoga or to meditate or to exercise or to eat well. So as we reset ourselves, our inner clocks, our rhythms become reset, our circadian rhythms become reset, our lunar rhythms become reset, our inner feminine can begin to thrive one more time again. So the idea is to practice, is to have a year of living in the sacred where we can begin to explore a different kind of relationship with destiny, with our collective destiny and with our personal destinies. So so this is because given the quality of life that we have today, the speed of life, the hecticness, the lack of time, the to-do list that's never ending, we push the relationship to the sacred, to the very, very lower tiers, when in effect, this program is really an invitation to bring it to the top. So I'd like to begin with a meditation. I'd like to invite you to join me in a meditation, and in a little while, we're going to be taking some callers as well. So this is a resetting meditation, and it's only a minute long, and I want to invite you to practice this during the day. So it's a minute-long meditation, and what we're going to do is we're going to follow our breath. You know, when you take a breath, you're breathing the same air that Christ breathed and that the Buddha breathed. This is the spirit that the word breath comes from, inspire. Inspire is when you take the breath in and you expire. It's when you release the breath for the last time. And if you go back to the beginning of our holy book, to the Bible, it says that in the beginning there was the breath, the word, the breath. So I'm going to ask you to inhale, and at the very top of the breath, to take a little pause before the inhale turns into an exhale, and follow that all the way to the bottom of the breath, and pause at the very bottom of the breath before the out-breath switches again to an in-breath. And on the in-breath, I'd like you to say, I am, to yourself, and on the out-breath, my breath. So it's, I am my breath. So take a deep breath and release it. And we're going to have some meditation music to accompany us. And we're only going to be doing this for 1 minute. So deep breath. And exhale. And at your own pace, inhale. I am. Exhale. My breath. Inhale. I am. Pausing at the top of the breath. Exhale. Release. My breath. I am. My breath. I am my breath. I am. My breath. I am my breath. I am my breath. Thank you. And practice this during the day. The shamans say that if you master the art of becoming your breath, that when you take your very last breath, you'll be able to follow it into infinity, leaving behind the old suit of clothes that you do not need anymore. So this is a brief meditation that I invite you to do, particularly during the full moon. During the full moon, all of the energy is ripe. There's certain agricultural activities you only do in the full moon. It's because the energy is so available. And this is a time to nurture our inner feminine, to nurture the feminine. So I'm going to switch on to a call. We have a call on line one from Elaine from Georgia, where she asks how we can change our destiny. Elaine, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. So you want to know how we can change our destiny?
Yes, please.
Okay. Repeat the question for me. What is it that brought this up for you?
Well, because I kind of, read some of your posts. I don't have a very good understanding of shamanism, but you're talking about we were born to a certain destiny. I'm curious, is it possible that we can change our destiny? If so, how, please?
I'm going to tell you exactly how you do that. And I'll tell you, one of the best times to do this is during that full moon period, when the energy is so available to us.
All right.
So we have several destinies that we inherit. One is that we inherit from our mother and father, and that's our that's our genetic destiny. So these are our genes. And remember that you're not your genetics. This is just what you will end up doing. You will end up getting sick like they did and die like they did if you don't change your eating habits and if you don't change your spiritual practice. That's the default. And you can modify that destiny with what you eat and how you love and how you forgive and drinking clean water, eating organic food. Your spiritual destiny is more your karma.
Okay.
So this is what you brought with you from different lifetimes. And the way that you change this karmic destiny is by learning the lessons. By learning the lessons so you don't have to keep repeating the grade. So each one of these karmas, see, we want to learn it internally. You don't want to learn it through the next person you date or the next person you marry or the next child you have or the next boss you have. That's the hard way. you want to learn. We've all tried that one, right?
Yeah.
So you want to learn it. You want to learn the lessons. And learning the lesson means finding a place of quiet and of stillness asking spirit to teach you directly so you don't have to learn through the obstacles that we create in the world.
Okay.
And then do this meditation that I recommended for you.
The one we just did. Yeah.
I am my breath. The minute you realize that you are your breath, that you're not the problem that's happening in the office, that you're not the health issue you may be going through, that you're not the children of recovering alcohol, the child of recovering alcoholics, that you are your breath, you are spirit. The minute that you discover that every cell in your body recognizes that, all of the things in the outer world begin to change.
Oh.
All right, well, good luck with that, Elena.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I found out I have a pattern repeated, in the last like 10 years or so, certain thing that, you know, people, I did the job, the work, but they didn't pay me. How could I stop that?
Well, see, that's, you gotta change the spiritual destiny. You gotta, and you can do that. I know that you can. All right, okay. Elaine, good luck.
Thank you so much. So I appreciate it. Have a blast.
Thank you. So this is part of the shamanic training. How do you change the destiny or the fate that has been selected for you by your genes or by your family of origin, the stories that run in our families, the dramas that run in our families? This is a destiny that's been selected for you. Or sometimes you have a beautiful destiny that gets derailed by trauma. So trauma, physical trauma, violence, an accident. If you're, you know, 8 years old and you're being abused verbally or physically, that kind of trauma can derail your destiny and you end up in the grip of fate. And fate is fatal. Fate is absolutely fatal. So during the shamanic healing processes and in our year of living in the sacred, one of our sessions is dedicated to this, is how do we practice a soul retrieval? How do we recover a part of ourselves that has been derailed, of our destiny that has been derailed by trauma or by the family of origin? How do we recover that original destiny, what we came here to do? And the shamans mastered the energetics for doing this so that you don't have to spend 3 years in psychotherapy. You can recover the energetics of that self that will remind you of what your mission and your calling and your destiny is in this life. And it's absolutely doable. In fact, this is what the medicine men and women of the Americas always did. So that if you were a shaman, a medicine woman, and you lived in the coast, you would have to take the fishermen to where the fish were going to be the next day. And if you were a shaman, a medicine man living in the mountains, you would have to take the hunters to where the buffalo were going to be the next morning. If you took them there and there were fresh buffalo tracks, but no buffalo, you were out of a job. So you had to track into the future and you had to make sure that the destiny line of the buffalo and the destiny line of the hunters intersected. You had to track for the most desirable future for your village. And this is what a medicine woman or a shaman will do when healing a client. They will not only do the energy medicine to repair what might be wrong, but they will help their patient journey forward along their timeline to find a future healed state. And the minute that you find it and you anchor it, you install it in that person's timeline, then the future can reach back like a giant hand and begin to pull you towards that desired destiny, which otherwise would seem very, very improbable. But the act of finding the buffalo and installing it makes it a little bit more probable. And this is why medicine men and women from around the world, whether they be Aboriginal or Sub-Saharan Africans or Asian or North American or South American. And by the way, these are the indigenous people. But remember that we're born many, many times and that you've not always been born blonde-haired and blue-eyed. We have been black and brown and white and Asian. We have been all colors of the rainbow. And we have been together before. We have sat around the fire in the plains with the buffalo behind us. We've meditated together in a stone temple above the snow line. This is why these spiritual traditions are so familiar to all of us. And this is why we have returned to help not only heal ourselves, but to also make a difference in the world, to bring a new vision of the possible for the world. And we do that by tracking into the future and finding that desirable destiny and identifying it. And then it reaches back like a giant hand and begins to pull you toward it so that it becomes effortless. And the hard part, of course, is to find it. It's to find the buffalo. And once you do that, and you install it, and you install it by becoming available to the will of spirit. And this is one of the topics that Carolyn Mace speaks to us about, will speak to us about when we have her session. So the so we have a call from Amber in South Carolina on line 4.
Hello.
Hi, Amber.
Hello, how are you?
Hey,
it's a pleasure
good.
To speak with you.
Likewise. So you have a question about the soul. What's your question about the soul?
So my question is, or I guess it's more along your take on it. A lot of the concepts that I hear in shamanism, and part of the reason why I feel drawn to it is it resonates with me. Some of my writings and some of the things that I've experienced are, I go and basically read about it, you know, that it's been, you know, it's part of their way. And again, this is coming from a place of being humble. I always believe in keeping a beginner's mind, and I'm always looking and learning and you know, seeing what there is to learn. And
so what's, Amber, let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Get me to your question.
Okay, so the question is, a lot of it, how does it simultaneously feel like recollection, but at the same time, somebody can feel stuck, like, okay, I know these things, and they're resonating with me, but at the same time feeling stuck. You know, like, why didn't I already know that if I feel like I know that? Is that like a conflict between the earth mind and the spirit?
No, that's, you know, that's not uncommon. And let me respond to that.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Because many of us experience that. You know, if I have come back with so much wisdom and I know that I'm an old soul, why am I having such a difficult life?
Mm-hmm.
And this is very common, and this is one of the tests that we face. This is one of the tests. So it's an opportunity to learn it anew. It's whatever it is that you're struggling with at this point, you've got to bring it up to the level of wisdom and not of trying to improve whatever the situation is or having the outcome be something that you like. So the key here is to understand that we come with a lot of wisdom, but that we have to embody that wisdom in this life and find out what the nectar is. This is, the shamans call it the hummingbird medicine, because the hummingbird sucks only from the nectar of life. Now, I spend so much time working on my crap that out of habit, whenever I put on my hummingbird wings, I would go to the dung pile first, because that's what I did most of my life. And it took a lot of changing the old habits to go for the nectar. So part of it is changing the habits. And part of it is taking the time during the full moon, particularly, to join with other medicine men and women around the planet. You light a candle and you join them in meditation to dream the dream of the possible world. And in doing that, you become connected. You become connected to this grid of earth medicine that's extraordinary. And that's why I'm doing these programs in the full moon. And that'll bring clarity to you. Trust that. Mm-hmm. Show up. You know, the Eastern traditions, when you read about the Eastern traditions, they're about waking up. They're about waking up. And if you look at the Western traditions, European and American, they're about growing up. And the shamanic traditions... Shamanic tradition, you know, you'd meet a lot of meditation practitioners that are woken up, but they haven't done much growing up. And so the shamanic traditions are about showing up. They're about showing up in this life. And you begin by showing up for yourself. So stay with it. Join us in a full moon meditation. Light a candle. All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yes,
blessings to you.
Thank you so much. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, and we have in line 8, Chris from Canada.
Oh, hello, Carl.
Hi, Chris.
How are you?
Good, good. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Actually, not that great because I've got tons of questions and I don't know exactly where to start. My question was
Start with an easy one, would you?
I don't think there's any easy questions because there's no real easy answer. I heard you saying to the lady previously that these are lessons. The hardest part is to go through this lesson and appreciate the process in order to learn the wisdom. If we all know this, and we are all humans, and we understand that some of us are actually going through this process, how come more people are not understanding of the process? Or understanding of the process as somebody's going through it? That's question number one. And I think that goes toward societal issues. The main question that I have is, I think I've been undergoing this kind of a change for a long period of time. It's reflected in pictures. And lately, all of my languages have sprouted. Porque hablo español muy bien, portugués también, un petit peu français. So a bunch of different languages. My creative side has come on, photography and music. I've never played instruments before.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm playing music in a band. So I find that certain circadian rhythms, the changes of the position of the earth, cause changes in humans and the reception or processing of this kind of energy. And I'd like to know if... During part of the year, like, I feel very stressed out up here in North America, and I feel better in a area closer to the equator.
Okay.
I'm wondering,
Chris,
if this is normal for shamans and normal for spiritual people to actually feel this way.
Yep, absolutely. And first, let me just erase that word from the vocabulary, normal. Because
okay.
The minute that you're following a spiritual path or a shamanic path, you're out of the big part of the bell curve. You're out of the belly of the bell curve and you're in one of the outliers. So we're beyond normal. Let's talk about supernormal or extra normal. You're getting all of these languages downloaded to you. Your consciousness is breaking down barriers. Now what's happening planetarily is that we're turning into butterflies. We're going through that metamorphosis where we're loosing an old form, an old identity, and we're stepping into a new one that's totally a mystery for us. And it is terrifying and incredibly exciting. And this is the period that we're going through globally because we are in the midst of one of the fifth great extinction event since the dawn of life in this planet. The previous one was 65 million years ago when a gigantic meteorite hit the Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs. We're in the midst of the fifth one. And when the Earth is going through such an extinction event of losing so many species, every species feels it because it's in the field. And what we're experiencing is an opportunity for quantum leaping. That you're taking, but you're on your own. You don't know other people that are going through that. I know 50 other people that are going through that. And we feel alone.
Because I need more support, yes.
We feel alone, yeah. Or we feel we're strange. We feel we're going. No, we're turning into butterflies. We're going through the cocoon phase. And we know that we're morphing. And what's happening is that we're quantum leaping. And this is what we came here to do now. So,
Carlos, my pictures actually show faces in the clouds. As I finish meditation and I give thanks for the meditations and stuff, I get the most amazing sunrises, sunsets, faces in the clouds. Like, it's just incredible.
Yep.
The animals are coming out to me, birds, dogs, cats, you name it. They just hear my voice and they come to me. It's actually quite magical.
You better be careful with that because people might start coming out to you next. All right, Chris, I've got a lot of other callers online, so I'm going to move on.
Thank you. I wish you well.
Blessings to you. Okay, good. So this is a really important point that, that Chris from Canada brought up, which is how do, you know, we feel there's change in the air. Many of us feel there's death in the air. But death is the other side of life. That means that there's rebirth, amazing rebirth happening globally, planetarily, and individually for us. So I want to point out one of the differences between the shamanic conception of reality and the biological one. Because biologists believe that we evolve in between generations, that maybe our children will be smarter and handsomer than we are, but that is too late for us. Our genes are already, you know, they're already set. Our genetics is already written in stone. Shamans understand that, yes, evolution happens that way, but during times of great crisis, evolution happens within generations, which means that we can express, we can open up that DNA code and untwist another strand and express a part of our potential that has never existed before on Earth. So evolution happens within generations. And to do that, you have to slow down enough. You have to practice stillness. You have to quiet the heart. Quiet the heart, and then the mind will follow. You can't quiet the mind. If you try to quiet the mind, it'll make you crazy. But you can quiet the heart. Inhabit the space of the heart. Megan Watterson takes us there, one of the guests that I have in our program. And Chris Northrup, Christiane Northrup, you know her for Women's Bodies and Women's Wisdom. She's done so much for women's health. And during her program, she's focusing on how do we recover the feminine soul, which resides in the heart and whose quality is stillness, is quiet. It's not action. That's the masculine part. Action, doing, this is being. And it's only by stepping into that heart space of being that we can really get the downloads for the new human. And the downloads are happening. It's in the air. It's in the light, actually. It's coming from the sun in the form of sunlight. So we have to be available to this terrifying process of quantum leaping within our own generation, to understanding that we're the ones that we've been waiting for. What a scary thought. And our bodies are beginning to change. Not only is our energy body, our luminous body, transforming transforming us into light beings, our physical body is also transforming us. Every one of us listening to this program is going to get to be 100 years old. And that's if you continue eating the garbage that we're fed in through the standard American diet. The acronym is SAD, S-A-D. But if you treat yourself well, if you eat well, you eat organic, you meditate, you forgive, you love, and you laugh, you're going to be 120 years old because the imprint is already here on this planet. We now have to open up to embody it. So we have another question here, which is from Diana, line 7, from Canada. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Alberto. How are you?
Good, good. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I have a question with respect to the time that we're living right now. We're calling it an empowered, sacred feminine time. And in light of recent activities in Toronto, Ontario, I don't know if you heard.
Yes, very sad.
Yes.
Very tragic.
My question is it my individual responsibility to help the males today to deal and to live in this empowered, sacred feminine time? And if it is my individual responsibility to help them, how can I best help them, Alberto?
Thank you for asking that, Diana, because this is a really important question, because we have the sacred masculine being very wounded right now and having these random acts of violence against the public, against themselves, against the people they love. So you have the opportunity to make this your task.
Okay.
And the question is, how do you go about doing it?
Yes.
Well, and I'll tell you a brief story. I have a good friend of mine who's a Buddhist master. He's a Buddhist teacher, and he teaches a lot in Japan. And he lives in New York, travels to Japan. Great guy, Jewish guy who's a Buddhist master. And the Japanese Zen priest, the very high Zen priest, the Roshis, they go to him to train because he's such a scholar. And it turns out that the Japanese Buddhist priests are leaving the city monasteries. And they're going to the high mountain monasteries to pray peace for the world, to meditate peace for the planet.
Right.
They say that at this time in history, it's more important that they hold the vision of peace for the entire world than that they teach a junior executive how to sit on a pillow and meditate. So I want to invite you to take that task at the very highest level, at the very highest level, and to do that by holding the vision of the healed masculine.
Okay.
So, and one more thought. What I invite my students to do is to take on something much bigger than they are. So that, you know, I tell my students, why don't you take on world hunger? Or why don't you take cleaning the river planet into your meditation practice? And when you hold that intention, not only of healing yourself, but of creating world peace. And I was with a friend of mine a few days ago, and we were driving to my office. And in Miami, and in my office, there's never any parking spots. Never. And I tell him this, and he says, watch out, Berto, I'm going to manifest a parking spot for us. And he closes his eyes, and he goes into meditation. And we get to my office, and there are three parking spots. And he's really proud, and he says, see what I did? And I look at him, and I go, if you're so good at it, why do you have to do it every time? Why can't you do it once now for the rest of your life? And so take on something bigger than parking spots. Take on world peace. You know, each one of us can do that. As we pray for the ones we love, as we ask help for ourselves, we also hold an intention of the collective, of the transpersonal. So take it at that level, Diana.
I think that's a wonderful answer. And I will take it as my individual responsibility to help heal what's happening, and I will take that into my meditation. Thank you so much for that advice, Alberto.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you. Okay, and we have Anna from Miami in line 5. Hello, Anna.
Hello, Alberto. I wanted to know how it was that you realized that shamanism was the path for you, with so many different paths to achieving spirituality and enlightenment. How did you find out that this one was the one for you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking that. How's the weather in Miami? You're in Miami, right?
It is. It's beautiful. It's sunny. Really beautiful.
No snow, huh?
No.
Great. How did I find the path to the shaman? That's a really good question. Thank you. Well, I wasn't interested in studying shamans. I was interested in studying the brain. And I was, right after graduate school, I was working at San Francisco State University in a brain laboratory. In fact, my lab was where all of the brains happened to be. And that was the only available space in the building. Was where there were 200 brains stored in jars. So if I ever needed a second opinion, I could get at least 200 of them. And and I was interested in whether we could create psychosomatic health. I knew that we could create psychosomatic disease, but we couldn't find it under the microscope. You couldn't find it in dead brains. You know, you could slice the brains, slice it, dice it, stain it, put it under the microscope, but all you would see would be neurons. You wouldn't see the ability of the mind. So that's when I went to the rainforest to work with the shamans. I had read about these medicine men and women that were extraordinary, that that had the ability to heal or to harm people at a distance or with their own thoughts. So I went to study them, and I, you know, left everything behind, closed my lab down, and discovered that these men and women were masters of using the mind, that they could use the mind to heal, that they could use the mind. See, we use the mind in the West to explore the world. So they, what they had done was to use the mind to explore the mind. So they became the explorers of consciousness. And I became so intrigued by what they were doing that I decided to become a student of the shamans. And I spent 25 years working and studying and learning from these medicine men and women. And now what I do is I train Western shamans, men and women that are able to practice energy medicine, that understand that there's a luminous energy field around the physical body, and that this field is what creates the body, what heals the body, and what organizes your experience in the world. And what I do today is to train individuals in the art of energy medicine, of healing through energy, because we are energy beings, we are light beings. And that's the closer we work to this level of light, the more expedient and the more effective that healing happens, and prevention, because you can find in the luminous energy field an illness 10 years before it materializes in the physical body. And if you can clear the field and upgrade the field, then it's going to grow a new body that ages and heals and dies differently. And we cover some of these points also in our year of living in the sacred on every full moon. How do you use the energy of the full moon to grow a new body? But if you're interested, Anna, and more information about what we do, please visit my website at the4winds.com. The Four Winds, FourWinds.com, and come and join us for the full moon meditation, because that's the time that you plant the seeds for growing a new body. It's in the fullness of the moon. That's when you deliver. That's when you come out of the cocoon with your butterfly wings.
Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you so much. And so let's find, here we have, so Beth from Alabama, line number 7, Beth from Alabama. Hi, Beth.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the preview of this webinar, and in it you talked about the energy field, and not only chakras, but an external energy field beyond that. And you had said that if we had had a trauma in our early life, it could be held in that external energy field, and that it could be triggered later on in different areas of your life by some happening. And I wondered, how do you clear that old stuff out of your energy field?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the... a friend of mine wrote a book called Many Lives, Many Masters. Brian Weiss, you all know,
yeah.
Brian Weiss.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
we were sitting and talking with Brian one time, and someone asked him, who's at the dinner table, Brian, what about when you meet your soulmate? You find that person, you gaze into his eyes or her eyes, and you know that this is your soulmate from another lifetime, and finally you've met him or her, what do you do? And he said, run away as fast as you can. because this is usually someone that you killed in a former life, that you feel you've known forever, you have, that you feel you have an intimate relationship with, you have, but it's not a good one. So here was an imprint in the energy field, and here you create it in front of you and you end up marrying it, which you don't want to do. So those are the karmic imprints with people, but we have these imprints can be triggered by others and by stress, and they are the source of disease. So if you are able to clear these imprints from the field, this information about early life trauma or birth trauma, or maybe your grandmother or your mother did not feel she could count on her partner to support her, or you might have been born into a family that was not safe like I was. And many of us were. So this is information that's in the field, and it lays dormant. It's like a like an icon in your desktop, in your computer. And then a traumatic event happens, or somebody reminds you of or triggers that imprint. They double-click on that icon, and suddenly it takes over your screen. It creates psychological or even physical illness. And the task is, you cannot deal with this only at the physical level, because you can extract the organ, or you can take the tissue out through surgery or burn it through radiation or chemo. But if you don't clear the imprint from the field, if you don't correct the blueprint, it's going to appear again. And you can... I can, if you get my book, Shaman, Healer, Sage, or One Spirit Medicine, which is my most recent book, it tells you how you can do that through a number of different strategies. But there are many, many trained energy medicine practitioners today that can help you do that.
Because well, otherwise, sure there aren't any here.
go to our website. We have a international directory in our website. That'll tell you where to find a good shaman, and some of them are medical doctors. But you don't need the Western medical. But yes, clear the imprint, clear the energetic, and the body follows. Thank you so much, Beth, and blessings to you. Okay, so we have we're going to take one more call, and which is from. Jasmine in New York on line 3.
Hello, thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi, Jasmine.
I'm an international student from India, and I'm living in New York. And I'm so happy to hear you speak about this. Because in India, we don't speak about it. You know, and I go on to study about karma and imprints. I'm getting a little overwhelmed, you know, but I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, in the Indian version, which was the very first description of karma in the Vedas, in the Hindu traditions, they talk about karma, and they talk about how we come to cleanse our karma lifetime after lifetime. Yeah. And what the shamans discovered is that you actually are coming to learn. You're coming to learn and to serve others. And when you can gain the wisdom, and the wisdom can be in the scriptures, or the wisdom for the shamans can be in your personal exploration. And when you acquire that wisdom, and it's not only for you, but you're able to turn it into service, to dream the world into being newly for others as well. That's why I encourage my students, take on world peace in your meditation, not just a parking spot. That's easy. Take on world peace. Take on climate change. It makes a difference how you hold that in your practice, in your spiritual practice. Then karma is cleared. And then all that is left is the wisdom. But sometimes even with these imprints, there are habits, but you don't fall into the hole with the lions in it. You kind of, instead of running into the hole, you see it beforehand and you back away and you say, I don't think I'll go into the lion den again. I don't think I'll marry the same kind of person again.
But so how do we prevent ourselves from absorbing, like, so for example, a friend of mine got diagnosed with cancer and I'm very worried. I'm like, oh my God, I will get cancer. Oh my God, I'm going to get sick. Like, oh my God. And like, I don't know. I feel like I absorb people's problems because I want to help. I want to heal. I want to pray for them. But I want to ask you, what is the best way to always think positive, be positive, and to not worry about like a future disease or a future illness?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you worry about a future disease, you're actually in some way helping to create it. So that's important to know. And the best thing that you can do is there's a shamanic practice, which is the practice of fearlessness. And the practice of fearlessness is knowing that you are the embodiment of love. And this is the greatest of the shaman's teachings, that you are love embodied and that nothing can diminish the love that you are, that you can share it freely. And that you cannot pick up anything from anyone other than your own nature, which is love. If you can turn that into a daily practice, you will find that this fearlessness will grow within you, and you will be able to follow that instinct, that beautiful instinct of yours to heal, to bring beauty, to help others, which we all have. And by the way, this is the only way that we complete our learning about karma, is through service, is through helping others, not just helping ourselves. So take it into the world, Jasmine. Take it into the world and become fearless. You can choose to do that and practice it every day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, blessings, huh? So we're coming to we have a lot of other callers. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to take you this time because we're coming to the end of the hour. And I want to invite you, if you would like to learn more about the shamanic wisdom practices, come and join us in our year of living in the sacred. 13 moons where we get to practice with today's leading spiritual teachers and mystics, from Greg Braden to Carolyn Mays to Colette Baron Reed. Christiane Northrup is with me, Megan Watterson and Robert Thurman and Mark Hyman and Sonia Choquette and Mike Dooley and Tenzin Wangyal and Marcela Lobos. Come and join us in a year of practice and of magic and of shamanism, because before every program, I share with you a new shamanic practice that you can bring into your everyday life. So thank you so much for joining us today. Blessings and walk in beauty. Mm-hmm.